This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated in conjunction with the Litchfield Church of God. And Kingdom Ministries was created to teach and preach the message of God's coming kingdom in a simple and understandable way. I want you to know about God's coming kingdom because it is the hope for all of us. The Church of Jesus Christ, the Church of God, the Church, all believers, their hope is in the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. I want to point out a very important passage, and if you have a Bible and can get it at this time, go ahead, and if you just simply write the passage down, I want you to write down, get a pencil and paper and write down this passage. I want you to be able to go back and re-examine this passage again. We've been talking about the kingdom of God and the need for us to grow in Christ. I want you to see a very familiar passage, but I want you to bring it back to you to refresh your memory to what the scripture says in the future, that's going to take place in the future. Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples about the kingdom of God, he was demonstrating in word and deed. He was performing miracles. He was teaching in parables. He healed the sick, people with a fever, people that had leprosy, people that were, they had demons, they were demon possessed, individuals that were blind, individuals that were unable to walk. And Jesus, as he's teaching, he was healing these people, and he was showing them through these deeds what the kingdom of God was going to be like. As if you look in the book of Revelation in chapter 21, you'll see that after the kingdom is established, after a 1,000-year reign, ultimately all tears will be wiped away. God himself will do this. There's going to be a thousand-year age when the kingdom is being established. It's a millennial reign spoken of in Revelation chapter 20. And during that period of time, Jesus will be here at the capital city of Jerusalem, where the headquarters of God's kingdom is. And you and I will be kings and priests and ruling and reigning. Yet there will be others who will be learning about the kingdom. There will be mortals in this millennial age prior to the perfect age. There will be some mistakes made. People will die. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, it says, you know, an individual who dies at age 100 would be but an infant. And this is in the kingdom, this is in the millennial age when Jesus returns to set up God's kingdom on the earth. After a 1,000-year reign, there's going to be another judgment that's spoken of in Revelation chapter 20. And the white throne judgment, ultimately, that all sin and death be destroyed, and we become into a perfect age. This passage that I want you to look at is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Jesus made it quite clear that he was coming again, and there was going to be a perfect age. These miracles that Jesus performed were a sample of what the kingdom was going to be like. Jesus healed a lot of people, a lot of lame people, a lot of sick people, people that had leprosy, people that were blind. There are illustrations in Scripture. Not every person named is named in Scripture who Jesus touched, but he also did not heal everybody. He healed some, and he healed a lot, but not everybody. But what he did was a sample. Now, you go into a grocery store, and periodically, if you go at the right time, there may be someone there at times that have a little display. It may be a display that has a special cheese that you can put on a cracker and they give you a sample to try it, or a piece of sausage you can try, or a small piece of pizza, or a different type of a cracker, or whatever. There's different things that can, that are sometimes on display, and people are explaining this particular product. You know, I've seen them in various grocery stores in various parts of the country, and I've often thought if you went the right time, you could have lunch, because a lot of people set up their little stands, and what they're designed to do is to let you taste their product, with the hopes that if you like their product, you'll go to the shelf or to the ice chest or the refrigerator cooler and get an item, get that item and purchase it and take it home. They're giving you a sample of what the product tastes like. But, you know, that little sample is not enough to satisfy your entire appetite. That sample is not a whole meal. And the miracles that Jesus performed in healing the sick, making the lame to walk, even raising people like Lazarus back to life, were just samples of what the future is going to be like, to show us what the kingdom of God is going to be like in the future when Jesus returns. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we find here in verse 16, it says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. But as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just as a thief in the night. For while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness." Jesus told us that he is coming back. And in 1 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul is telling us the same thing, that Jesus Christ is coming again. And although we do not know the day or the hour, no man knows the day or the hour. Jesus, the Son of God, he himself does not know the hour. The only one that knows the hour is Jesus' own Father, God Almighty, Jehovah, Yahweh. He's the one that knows the day and the hour. And when it is right in his eyes, he will send Jesus. And Jesus is going to come again. There's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet call. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, there are a lot of individuals that you know that over the past number of years, past decades perhaps, even near friends close to you. Maybe it's a husband, maybe it's a wife, maybe it's a child, maybe it's an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, and you've been to a funeral and you've seen these individuals and you've gone to the cemetery and they have been laid to rest. I want to show you something in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Death is an enemy. There's no place in Scripture that says that death is a friend. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. He calls death an enemy. Jesus himself in John chapter 11 calls death a sleep. And so when a person dies, they go into a deep sleep. And we've been to funerals where they have been laid to rest in a cemetery. And there's two of them here in our community. There, you've been to others where sometimes they're above ground in a mausoleum. Wherever they are, they're laid to rest. And the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 talks about the men and women who have lived lives of faith, who have trusted, who have obeyed, and have been found faithful, and have been individuals that you consider very righteous, have exemplary lives, even some that have died for the faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 39 and 40, it says, all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They looked for a day when they would live again, when they would be made immortal, when they would be with Jesus, when they would have eternal life, when they would be alive forevermore. They longed for that day. And verse 39 says that these all, they lived a life of faith, but they did not receive what was promised because, verse 40, God had provided something better for us so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. What's this saying? It's meaning here, Hebrews chapter 11, 39 and 40, it says that we will all be made perfect together. The ones that have been dead for a week, the ones that have been dead for a year, the ones that have been dead for 100 or 1,000 years and beyond, all the faithful will be made alive and made perfect together with you and me. And we will be made perfect together. And that's what God has in mind. All those men and women of faith written about in Hebrews 11 did not receive what was promised because God had something better for us, that apart from us, they wouldn't be made perfect. We're going to be made perfect together when Jesus returns. And we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that Jesus is going to come. The dead are going to be raised. There'll be a shout, a voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's our hope. And I'm anxious for that day. I don't believe it's that far away. Live each day as if Jesus were to come. May God bless you.